Hey, my name is Zinu, and you're listening to Anti-Moonboy News. Well, it's been a fun week and a half, 2 weeks since the last episode. Apologize about not having an episode last week. I was sick as a dog. But I'm back and excited to get things going. And yeah, we got a lot to talk about with the whole Epstein situation, which we will be covering today, and my thoughts on that. We are also going to be taking a look at Michael Saylor's just awful week and really awful year. Continuing, the Moon Boy of the Year 2025. He's probably going to win Moon Boy of the Year 2026 from the way it's looking. So we're going to talk about his absolutely rough week, the price dump that happened as well. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the darknet today. What cryptocurrencies are they using? Spoiler alert, that's Monero. And we also got a bunch of super chats too. And yeah, Monerotopia is next week, so I will not be having a show. I will be doing a big recap on Monerotopia in the following program, so we should have a lot of fun with that. All right, and with that out of the way, as always, you can donate to the show at xmrchat.com/Zinu, or you can just shoot me a donation at the link in my profile, or you could buy some merch at antimoonboy.com/merch. So yeah, we got to talk about this whole Epstein thing. And I'm actually going to fire off a hot take right off the bat, which might surprise a lot of you guys. But I think a lot of this is a big old nothing burger. And, you know, I'm not surprised that people are, you know, going crazy over these emails. And by the way, it's a nothing burger with regards to cryptocurrency, to be very clear. There's a lot of stuff happening right now, a lot of moving parts. But I think people are overreacting pretty tremendously. It's kind of funny, I think. And I'm hopefully going to bring you guys back down and kind of talk some sense into some of you guys, especially the ones who are saying that Bitcoin is a pedophile coin now. Okay. The worst one was this conspiracy that Epstein is Satoshi or something because of this like obviously fake email. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to be talking about that. Now, let me be clear. To lead off, let me be very, very clear. This guy Epstein was a vile piece of shit, okay? And there's a lot of weird stuff that happened. And I think it's more or less a foregone conclusion that he was a state asset for Israel. And if you look at the funding that he received, where he received his funding, and especially if you read these emails, the most glaring thing that you're saying with these emails is it's all pro-Israel stuff and blah, blah, blah. I can't really talk too much about this because I'm on YouTube. Anyways, so, you know, he was definitely working with them. And, you know, his whole job, it seemed like, was just to get to know people, get his claws into people's lives. And he talked to freaking everybody. You know, he was basically, in his phone book, he had probably contacts to every single person you could think of, which we've seen, at least in the United States, but also probably other countries as well. We know, like, scientists, evidently, a lot. He, like, Bill Gates and, like, Stephen Hawking and whatever. He knew politicians, actors, actresses. The whole thing is like a giant black pill. You know, this guy that in 2005, it was reported he, you know, sexually abused a 14-year-old girl. Ugh. And he was convicted in 2008 for procuring a child for prostitution and soliciting a prostitute. And obviously, that's just the tip of the iceberg. He's accused of sex trafficking, and this is all horrid shit, right? The guy was vile. And despite this, despite having this be public record, you know, we're looking at these emails done long after this. And people are just talking to the guy, you know? And not only the emails, too, but also just all the pictures we've seen over the years, all of his attendances at these fucking weddings and, like, you know, it's just, it goes to show you power, you know, that, you know, he can do these horrible things and then, you know, go around and talk to a bunch of people and shit. And So yeah, he was basically this this guy who, you know, had a bunch of parties and knew everybody and was friends with everybody, and he used that networking to his advantage. He would be like, hey, you want to meet this guy? I can help you out. And then he'd get a new target or whatever, or maybe he wanted to get somebody, so he would say, hey, I know you know so-and-so, can you put me in contact, and so on and so forth. And through that, over the years, he built this like massive network of connections. Furthermore, he was an entrepreneur. He invested in a lot of different things. And because he was such a, you know, wealthy investor, he was reached out to a lot. You know, he was constantly asked like, hey, this is a new cutting edge technology, you know, we think it's really good, can you, you know, send us some money, we'll give you some equity, that sort of thing. That happened like all the time with this guy. And I'm sure there's also like insider trading that happened. And, you know, it's a whole rabbit hole of just like corruption and shit like that. And I mean, he probably did have a ton of blackmail on people, or at least leverage. And that's like crazy to think about. Like, what does he have on people? So that's kind of the, like the first thing where like, that's who this guy was. He knew a bunch of people. So we hate this guy, right? So all this became news in like the mid 2010s. I forgot exactly when. Then he got arrested. Then he killed himself, quote unquote, right? And everyone's like in an uproar. So now we're getting these emails, and we're just dropped like 3 million emails, which is like obviously a ton. And they're all scrubbed, for what it's worth. So they're basically useless. Tons of stuff is taken out. And for what it's worth too, like his estates, they were all raided right after, and the feds took everything and probably just, you know, scrubbed it as well. Like it's all very blatant corruption, right? But anyways, we have these emails, and he talks to a lot of people, okay? He talks to a ton of people, and there is some weird stuff I'm seeing, you know, like with coded language, and you're just like, ugh. So anyways, what I'm getting at here is that just because people met with this guy, it doesn't necessarily incriminate them, okay? Now, if he met on the island, though, that obviously has a different reputation, right? Because of all the accusations of sex trafficking and stuff, like really disgusting stuff. Like, so if like that's the case, if someone visits his island, that's different. And then we have to take that a lot more seriously, because then it's like, what was this guy doing hanging out with, you know, Epstein like that? But, you know, if he's just having meetings like in New York, like at like a restaurant or something, seems kind of innocuous to me, just because he kind of knows a lot of people. It's kind of like, I see that a lot of criticisms here about people meeting Epstein, but we have to look at the bigger context of like what actually happened and took place. Okay, we're going to look at like five or six stories here. We got Blockstream we're going to start off with. We're going to talk about Coinbase, Amirataki, Zcash, and Sailor. Those are the six major crypto stories. We're going to talk about each of them. So again, like I don't think we should downplay Epstein's history at all, obviously. At the same time, though, guilt by association is not as strong as I think some people are saying it is. We don't really have any other proof other than like two emails, right? You know what I mean? And that's kind of like what we're seeing. So let's start with Blockstream. So the whole Blockstream thing, basically, Blockstream was looking for funding. They opened funding to raise $21 million, which they did. And Epstein donated $500,000. But he didn't directly donate $500,000. He donated it through, let me get the email here. He donated through MIT's Joy Ito. He had this investor at MIT who he was in contact with, and they have a whole correspondence like talking about Bitcoin and stuff. And actually, this guy Joy Ito is selling Epstein on like what this stuff is. So, for example, here in this email from Joy Ito to Epstein, it says the way that Bitcoin is organized currently is that there are five core developers and around 100 contributors to the core code. They decide changes are made to the core code. One of the five is lead developer of Vladimir, and one is the chief scientist Gavin. Gavin, Vladimir, and Corey, an important contributing developer, were being paid out of a nonprofit organization called the Bitcoin Foundation a few weeks ago. That blew up when one of the board members declared the foundation bankrupt. Many organizations scrambled to step into the vacuum created by the foundation and take control of the developers. We moved quickly, talking to all of the various stakeholders, and the three developers decided to join the Media Lab. This is a big win for us. FYI, use funds to underwrite this, which allowed us to move quickly and win this round. Thanks. So basically, Epstein had previously donated to this digital currency initiative from MIT. And this guy was sending an email back to Epstein saying, hey, the funds that you used, we used it to actually basically take these Bitcoin developers and put them under our company. Okay. And, you know, that doesn't sound to me like Epstein is controlling Bitcoin. It seems like he has an investment he made, and the guy who is in control of his investment was like, hey, we're doing this with that money. The total was $21 million. He donated 3%. So, like, if we're actually looking at the numbers that have been given out, he definitely did not give to the extent that some people are claiming he gave out. Like, so I think some people are under the impression that Epstein is, like, controlling everything. It's like, no, he made an investment because he was a rich entrepreneur who knew everybody, and his friend here, this Ito whatever, reached out to him. He's like, hey, we're using your funds for this. And Epstein's like, okay, you know, like, I don't really see anything here that is anything out of the ordinary. Now, the other thing too is the developers, some of the core developers, let's see here. It was Austin Hill, Adam Back, Kelly Zaka, Alina Ara, and Francesca Hall. They apparently were invited to go visit Epstein at the Ritz-Carlton in St. Martin, which I guess makes sense. They received a very nice donation from him, so they were invited down. Now, it is sketchy, right? This is 2014, so they're pieces of garbage for accepting this invitation, I guess, because now you know that they know who Epstein is, right? They know who this guy is. And they know his history at this point, unless they did not do any due diligence, which I would be surprised by. And then now they know he invested in them. And yet they still went to go visit this guy. Now, I don't think you could stop somebody from privately investing in you. I'm not really sure how that works with seed funding, to be honest. Because he didn't directly invest in them. It was through the MIT. But they somehow got in contact with him. And so then they went to go visit Epstein. So this is definitely sketchier. And then there was this other email where apparently there's this guy. There was an email that was sent to Amir Taki. And Epstein wrote to Amir Taki saying that Andy Back was on his island. And this is kind of around the same time frame as the trip that I just talked about, that when they were invited to the Ritz-Carlton. So in that case, maybe Andy Back was a, you know, misspelling. Maybe he meant to say Adam Back, or maybe he was purposely, you know, censoring that. But, you know, he mentioned that around the same time. So it's possible that Adam Back went to the island of Epstein, which is a lot worse than staying at the Ritz-Carlton in St. Martin, especially when you consider that this guy is, you know, headlining all these Bitcoin conferences and stuff. It's very, very plausible, I think, that he's probably going to have to step down because a lot of people are pissed off that he was doing this. But at the same time, people are jumping from this. And I've read you basically everything that we know so far. People are jumping from this donation that was honestly not that big, but, you know, it was still sizable enough where then Adam Back went out of his way to meet him, probably to get more funding, to be honest with you. That's probably the reason they made the trip. I would like to insert a small correction here. It does appear that the island meeting happened before the seed funding. So it looks like they did go and meet with Epstein before he did donate money to MIT. Although it's unclear if he funneled the money through MIT or if he had already provided the funds to MIT. This is not confirmed. And then there's this possible connection where he went to the island. We're not sure about that. But he already made the trip to go in the vicinity. And for what it's worth, St. Martin is like very close to where his island was, right? So that's all obviously fucked up. But to jump from that to Bitcoin as a pedophile coin is like peak retardation. And it doesn't make any sense. Bitcoin is an open source project. It doesn't have a CEO or anything. It's a commodity. And what we have here is possibly Adam Back went to Epstein's island with, we have like kind of like a loose connection. That's it. You know, they received funding from Epstein. Okay. Epstein invested in a ton of different things. And it's not like a lot of these other investors have like clean slates, like they don't. So yeah, I'm not really seeing it, guys. I think this is like, for the most part, just how the world works. I do think Adam Back, though, will resign or step down because obviously he has a ton of heat right now. And this doesn't look good at all. And for the record, I freaking hate Blockstream, okay? I hate Blockstream, but I'm just looking at this in a factual way. That's how I like to look at things. I would take every chance I could get to shit on Blockstream, but this doesn't seem like some overreaching conspiracy. Like some people are trying to make this claim that like Israel controls Bitcoin because of Epstein. It's like, well, we know Blockstream took over the core, and with that they pushed this agenda, and that agenda has really neutered Bitcoin, and that's factual. And we know that because that's literally what happened. And we have all the data and proof and logs to show that. So this doesn't really like shed any other light on this, except it gives it a pedophile angle, I guess. I mean, if that convinces people to look more into the Blockstream takeover, maybe it's a good thing, I guess, because this has obviously been a problem. But no, unfortunately, guys, I think this is mostly just more of the same. Like, we already knew that Blockstream took over Core and Bitcoin degraded after that. That's really the bigger story here. Now, I got this article here from Yahoo Finance about his ties to Coinbase. And so it says here, the convicted sex offender Epstein built his finance career through connections with the world's most powerful people, from Apollo's Leon Black to former Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Barak. But newly released documents from the Department of Justice reveal that before his 2019 suicide in prison, Epstein also cultivated ties with the still emerging crypto industry, with early investments in U.S. crypto exchange Coinbase, as well as Bitcoin infrastructure company Blockstream. The investment in Coinbase represented less than 1% of the company's equity, and Epstein's stake in Blockstream through another fund was not disclosed. So maybe Epstein's stake in Blockstream did increase. It's possible. I can't say yes or no to that. But right there, you see that his investment in Coinbase is like less than 1%. So no, he's not controlling Coinbase. And like you see like people saying this on Twitter, it's like actually read like what the information that we know. That's not what happened. But yeah, it says here with Coinbase, there's this guy, Brock Pierce. He was an early crypto booster, and he co-founded the company Tether. And he also has this company, Blockchain Capital, very powerful. He's a prominent investor. And through the new trove of documents released by the Justice Department, in 2014, Pierce approached Epstein about investing in Coinbase. The financier was intrigued. Coinbase is doing a C round this week. Should I play? How hard, he wrote in an email to Reid Hoffman, co-founder of LinkedIn and a well-known Silicon Valley investor. Epstein eventually decided to back the exchange. Take $3 million, he said in an email to Pierce about contributing to Coinbase and their $75 million Series C round in 2015. which valued the company at around $400 million. Later emails indicate that Epstein did invest in the cryptocurrency exchange, which eventually went public and has a market cap of about $43 billion today. In 2018, Blockchain Capital reached out to Epstein to see whether the firm could buy his $3 million investment at a higher valuation. A trust associated with the financier sold 15 million of the Coinbase equity to Blockchain Capital that year. Pierce, who left the Blockchain Capital in 2017, did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Mr. Epstein has never been an investor. Blockchain Capital Fund, said the spokesman for the venture investor. So, like, literally what this says here, guys, he made an investment in Coinbase, made a fuckload of money, and sold it. Wow. Like, that's literally all that happened. And yet, I'm going on Twitter, and I'm seeing all these people, like, freaking out, seeing, like, oh, he's controlling the crypto industry. No, he like, makes investments, and he, like, then sells those investments later. Like, and like both times, too, like, he has people who he's, like, friends with, because he knows everybody, and they send him, like, hey, hot tip here, we need money for this. All right, sure, yeah, take the money. You know, those are the people that really need to be investigated, because, like, why are they communicating so much with Epstein? You know, those are the people that, like, probably have a bunch of dirt on them. So that's Coinbase. So Epstein also emailed Amir Taaki, noted cypherpunk. And again, he emails people based on advice from other people, or maybe he does his own research. And this is what Amir Taaki said. He said, Epstein emailed me because I was, like, the CEO of Bitcoin at the time. As you can see, they view me as the enemy, not a friend. That was a reference to another email, which I'll get to in a sec. Anyways, he adds, what happened? I was a 22-year-old nerd hacker living in my mom's spare bedroom. I founded a company with a friend. Some random billionaire offers to invest. I said, I'm like, OMFG, yes. My co-founder does due diligence and allegations come up, so he has doubts. He happens to be visiting New York, so I put them in touch. And he actually visits Epstein. Later he came back and he was like, absolutely not. Then killed everything. I actually wonder. It's kind of cryptic, but okay. Then he says, from this email quoted, you could see they actually despised us for being idealists and radicals. And so this is another email to Jeffrey Epstein from Jason Calacanis. He says, so you know, these folks who are not trying to build a business... That's Amir Taaki. He says they are the crazy open source folks who are radicals. Their motivation is more in line with WikiLeaks or Wikipedia. I had these guys on my TV show on the web, YouTube, startups, Gavin Anderson, and Amir Taaki Bitcoin. And that's pretty much it. I mean, like, you know, he reached out to these guys because he got he was trying to invest in early Bitcoin startups. And it never happened. And they called them radicals because they were open source guys. And that was that. They did. One of the guys associated with Amir did meet with him. And like, again, that's just a meeting. Like, I don't know. Maybe they should have just cut him off immediately because of his past. But, you know, that's just what it is. So, I mean, yeah, there's not really much there. I again, don't see it. Then we have the Zcash one. This is more of the same. He was notified about Zcash raising funds, and he threw some money at it, and that's pretty much it. I don't really see much else to talk about with this. I think I've made my point, guys. Associations with Epstein does not mean they're pedophiles. That's... I guess it makes them closer. Like, the percentage goes higher, I suppose, but it doesn't, you guys are reaching with this. And frankly, it's kind of poisoning the well because it makes like legitimate criticism of like the takeover of Bitcoin look like, you know, schizo, like, oh, they're all pedophiles. Like, no, there was a very clear takeover of Bitcoin, but now we're calling it a pedo coin. Like, whatever, man. The funniest one, though, this was Michael Saylor appearing in the Epstein files. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, this is from Peggy Siegel sent to Epstein. And she mentions Michael Saylor being at this, like, very ritzy dinner that they were at. And Michael Saylor giving $25,000 for food and the opportunity to get his name on invite and meet a hip group. Saylor is a complete creep. He has no personality, sort of like a zombie on a drug. We had smart director sitting next to him and his idiot gorgeous date and could not get any conversation out of him except, I have a yacht, I'm taking it to Cannes. So, yeah, it based Michael Saylor. So that's pretty much that. I do think we are going to see more with the Bitcoin Core team, though, just because there's a lot of people outraged. But, yeah, this doesn't really change anything. You know, rich people investing in different companies is nothing new. It's just kind of how, this is how things work. So, yeah, we're all in the studio right now, and next to me is one of my best friends in the world, a robot that you know very well. Of course, I'm talking about Bella.
Thank you for letting me back on Anti-Moonboy News, the funniest podcast in the world that is hosted by the most attractive host.
Oh, it's great to see you too. And yeah, don't really think anyone else is here.
Beep boop. Hey, what about me? Me and my girlfriend. We're sitting right here. Beep boop.
Oh, yeah. Also, there's Robot here with his girlfriend, the vacuum cleaner.
Beep boop. Why are you giving her more attention than me, Beep boop?
Well, it sounds like someone's a little jealous. Listen, I'll watch BattleBots with Robot tonight, all right? Don't worry about it. I'm just busting his balls a little bit. It's okay, vacuum cleaner.
Wow, that joke of you being able to understand the vacuum cleaner is insanely entertaining.
Thank you so much for saying that. I really appreciate it. Okay, now we're going to be talking about more on Saylor, actually. His terrible week. Oof. So MicroStrategy dumped to $100. It did rally back up after to 100. I think it's at like $130 now, but it was just dumping from a high of like $450. It's now gone down to like $130, just total devastation. And likewise, Bitcoin just shit the bed. It was a crazy week. Someone was selling a lot. Don't know if it was an entity, a giant whale. I don't know who it was or if it was just a lot of people. But Bitcoin dumped to like, I think the lowest was like 64,000, 65,000. It's currently at 69,000, but we are like dumping. The entire market is just in the gutter. Monero is like down 50% from that pump and dump that happened. Everything is in the red. It's absolutely brutal. PMs too took a dump. They've kind of now stabilized a little bit, but silver was like super volatile. It took like a historic dump. Been crazy out there, guys. And, you know, The thing here is like sentiment right now is extremely low, and I just do not see like Bitcoin popping back up. So I guess now we know Bitcoin's going to go back up because I'm so negative. But no, I think we're going to like kind of like maybe rally a little bit from here. But sentiment right now is just very, very low, especially with all this pedo coin stuff going on. Now, here's the problem with Saylor though. So, you know, MicroStrategy, they've diluted their shares so much to buy more Bitcoin. They've sold these preferred options to, again, get money to buy more Bitcoin. Right now, they're okay. They don't have to pay any dividends, but they will have to pay dividends in 18 months. And so a lot of people are like, well, don't worry about it. You know, they have this USD reserve and that's going to hold things off for a little bit, which is technically true. Here's the problem though. People aren't thinking in the long term. They're kind of just saying like, oh, 18 months from now. Yeah, big deal. Yeah, but what about 5 years from now? Because once that USD reserve goes away, you know, what happens next? And the problem here is that in addition to people not looking in the long term, when they do look in the long term, they're envisioning Bitcoin being valued way higher than it's going to be. We have seen diminishing returns now for two straight bull runs. Find me a single maxi who, during this bull run, thought the high would be 125,000. You know what I mean? Like, as it was, 2021 was super disappointing because literally every maximalist was thinking at least 100K. 100K was the floor, right? Well, this time we actually did break 100K, but we didn't go much higher. And so the diminishing returns is starting to settle in. And for sailors, like, long-term success to actually be legitimate, Bitcoin needs to keep going up. Because otherwise, those dividends, they're going to start piling up. And how is he going to pay them? Is he going to sell more stock? Is he going to dilute the stock even more? Is he going to, what's he going to do? Is he going to make more options? Because that's the thing. The only way he's been paying these dividends has been selling more preferred stocks. This is why we're calling it a Ponzi scheme. It's just at a certain point, it collapses. Like, how is he going to make these payments? And that's the thing. Like, Saylor's reputation is getting crushed right now. He's never been more unpopular. His popularity is at an all-time low because all of his promises did not happen. He keeps buying the tops. He also, by the way, he bought the top again. And now he has no more money to buy tops unless he's going to sell more shares. But the shares keep going down in value. And so what happens if MicroStrategy plummets down to like $15 again? You know, what happens then? Do we really think it's going to pump back up to $400-something? Because, like, it seems to me that MicroStrategy is just a shitcoin. It literally has the price chart of a shitcoin. Take a look. It's way more risky to buy than something like Bitcoin. Way more risky. And that actually, it's literally Bitcoin, but, like, with leverage. That's basically what MicroStrategy is. And so at a certain point, he is going to have a shit reputation. His stock is going to be in the gutter. And Bitcoin's not going to be as high as it needs to be. And suddenly he has a bunch of debt obligations. How is he going to make those payments? His only way is by selling Bitcoin. And it's going to nuke the market. And who knows? It might happen sooner than later. But like, that's the long-term goal. The only thing that can save him is if Bitcoin really pumps and breaks out of this diminishing returns. Possible. It could happen, but it's looking more and more unlikely. And frankly, even if it does, I think Saylor's just going to double down on his gamble and he's going to do even more degenerate stuff and make more of these, you know, preferred options and just more and more credit. And, you know, for him, it's just about making money right now. And I just don't see how it doesn't collapse. Now, this year, he's probably safe. This is great too. This week they had they actually had an earnings call. I didn't watch it. I just can't. But they had an earnings call, and I guess he said at some point that they'd be okay. You know, even if Bitcoin was like $8,000, and we could hold that for like 5 or 6 years or something like that, which is total garbage. Yeah, I don't know the technicalities of this. So I'm going to not make like any like more overreaching statements, but like he's definitely talking out of his ass, which he has been doing for the past basically his entire life, if you guys haven't noticed. And they're definitely in the red right now. And we'll see where this bear market takes us, because a lot of people are saying 40, 30,000. I've always been saying 40,000, but I think we definitely could go lower. And, you know, as that momentum builds against him, he's going to be pressured to sell his Bitcoin to help his shareholders, because his shareholders are going to get more and more pissed off at him for not protecting them. And yes, some of these shareholders are, you know, Bitcoin maximalists who like they don't want him to sell it all anyways. But you also have this included in like funds, right? Like index funds. And, you know, what about those guys? Like, they're going to be pissed off. You know, why aren't you protecting our investment? Furthermore, like, think of like NASDAQ. It's going to get delisted from there. Because their market cap keeps plummeting. So depending on how low they go, they'll get delisted from that. And that's going to have another impact on like a lot of these things. And so MicroStrategy is suffering, Sailor is suffering, and it's highly entertaining. Good times, man. And this might be the year of the anti-moon boy. Know what I mean? All right, so we'll now jump over to Darknet market update. So I wanted to do this, you know, prior to my talk I'm giving at Monerotopia, which is next week. I'll talk about that in a sec. But I did want to go on Dread and just take a look at the markets, look at the top markets, look at the, you know, how things are looking. And no surprises. It was pretty much exactly what you would expect. Why did I get rid of it? Okay, here we go. The four largest markets are Drug Hub, Dark Matter, Torzone, or Torzon, and Black Ops. Now, I'm calling them the four largest because they are the four markets on the Dread Super List. And Dread is the Darknet Reddit. It's basically where you find information about these drug markets or, you know, other illicit activities. Nothing too bad. They have moderators there. It's basically, you know, Darknet Reddit. People go there to talk about, you know, OPSEC and stuff. And they also have other markets as well that are like trying to get on the super list. So there's a big list of markets and I look through all of them. So these are like existing markets. Anyways, of the four largest markets, Drug Hub is XMR only. Dark Matter is XMR only. Torzon is XMR and BTC. And Black Ops is XMR only. So of the top four markets, three of them are XMR only. And Torzon is XMR and BTC. And I mean, that just goes to show you the trend is just Monero dominance. And so of the remaining markets, there was like 15, maybe 20. All of them have XMR. I would say 2/3 were XMR only, maybe 50% were XMR only. I forget. You have to remember that a lot of these markets that are starting, they include Bitcoin just to get more clientele because people still use Bitcoin and they'll just gravitate to their market because they still allow Bitcoin because they don't care if their clientele has bad OPSEC, evidently. That's something I wouldn't trust, but it's a very clear swing. Right? Monero dominance. And it's, yeah, frankly, not even close. I do have a funny story, though. So there's one market, I forget the name of them, but it's a very small market. I think they just started a couple months ago. And they listed Bitcoin and Zcash as their cryptocurrencies allowed. Yeah, they didn't even have Monero. I'm like, what the whole Zcash is taking over, right? So I click on it. And go to their page. And basically, the reason they didn't have Monero is because they didn't know how to use Monero's multisig. And this is actually probably the main reason Bitcoin is still on darknet markets, is multisig. Bitcoin, up until recently, actually, has been so much easier than using Monero's multisig. Well, this has changed, though. Monero multisig is actually very functional now. So I go to their page to see why they aren't using Monero. And C is a post that says, we are adding Monero soon. And I click on it, and apparently they were reached out to, and they were like, and in the message, they literally are like, yeah, we're adding Monero now. Guys, we're putting contact to how their multisig works. We're going to have it soon. And then right underneath it, I swear to God, it says, and due to a lack of interest in Zcash, we will be removing Zcash. Everyone was probably messaging this guy like, dude, what are you fucking doing? What are you doing, dude? Oh, man. So that's just had Monero dominance right there. The only market that didn't have Monero, everyone's like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? So I thought that was pretty funny. So next week I will be at Monerotopia. I'm pumped. I'm landing Wednesday afternoon. I'll be out Wednesday night, so I don't know, hit me up. I will be speaking on Thursday, midday. So keep an eye out for the schedule. Super pumped. It's going to be a fun time. I'm also probably going to have to do Ruckneum's presentation live because he hasn't sent me his presentation yet. So I'm probably going to have to do that as well. I think that's on Friday. But that should be awesome because all the Monero devs. So the way Doug did it was actually pretty clever, I think. He has on Thursday like more like general talks about digital cash, uncensorable money. Love it. And then on Friday, it's like all Monero devs. So that's going to be awesome. And then Saturday is mostly Spanish talkers. And then Sunday is kind of just a mix of everything. I'm actually going to be leaving on Sunday, so I'm staying only for the first 3 days. But I'm really pumped. Really looking forward to that. So definitely hit me up if you want to hang out. Should be a good time. And last news item we have today, Cubic. Back in the news. Good old Cubic. Kind of miss those guys, you know? Those were some wild times. Yeah, basically, on... someday in the past week, I forget which day, I got like four DMs about how the hash rate was being taken over again by Cubic. So I checked out the mining pools, and sure enough, their mining pool showed like they had 83% of the network hash rate or something. And then I checked the, you know, sources I have provided by the Monero Research Lab. It's all open source, Ruckneum's website, as well as Data Hoarder's website. And very clearly, you could tell that they definitely did not have that much of the hash rate because they were hardly solving any blocks. So, turns out, though, they are no longer antagonistic, believe it or not. They actually posted on their Discord, of all places, that, hey, sorry guys, this was an API error. So they actually came out and even said that. But yeah, the devs were very quick to respond and say that, yeah, everything's fine. You know, we're not actually under attack. But as a reminder, though, I mean, it sucks that we're still in this situation where something like that could happen again. And it is what it is. Now, I actually, if you're curious, I'm sure you're not, but whatever. Cubic is actually shifting to attack Dogecoin next. And I'm kind of pulling for them. You know what I mean? It'll make us look better, right? Because if Cubic manages to, like, cause some craziness against Dogecoin, then they'll mention, like, how they attacked Monero in the media. But, you know, we'll be still alive, so people will be like, oh, Monero survived. And then we'll get a rub, you know what I mean? Plus, it'll be entertaining to watch from the sidelines, I guess. But anyways, yeah, Cubic, they did not actually attack us this week. We're okay. We'll probably be attacked by some other manner soon. All right, now we got Super Chats. If you want to give a donation, go to xmrchat.com/Xenu. We got a bunch this week. First one is from Sparkle Giggles, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you very much, Sparkle Giggles. And they say, I can't help myself. Blushes. That's in italics. Every time I see your videos, my heart, it feels like it's exploding with sparkles. I really admire how talented you are. How much you care and the dedication you put into everything. Well, isn't that nice? Thank you very much, Sparkle Giggles. Please don't be a man. please. Yeah, here's the problem. The problem with that comment is the probability of that being a 35-year-old man is like 99%. it's just. Ugh. Okay, well, thank you for the donation. I appreciate that. Next up, we got a donation from 1CPU=1vote, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you. And they say, I'm mining with 3 old PCs and I feel great. Using the official Monero GUI when running a node makes it super easy to set up mining with P2 pool within the advanced tab. Yeah, man, that's awesome. You know, mining is something that anybody can do. and you are gigabased for mining with three old PCs. That's pretty cool. And yeah, like the Monero GUI, it makes it super simple. It's like plug and play. And that was one of the better like UX decisions that was made by the Monero team to add P2Pool directly into the GUI. Just awesome stuff. Unfortunately, the hash rate for P2Pool just needs to be a lot higher. It's frankly not good enough. But yeah, hopefully we'll get there one day. But that's awesome, man. Thank you for the donation, for help and support the network. All right, and this one's from MavMCQ, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you. And he says, my question is for Robot. Robot, have you ever considered renting a Dyson? Just for the weekend, of course. Thank you very much, Mav. Robot, what do you guys say to that?
Beep boop, negative. My girlfriend is a Shark Stratos AX3000, which provides superior performance at a lower price point. Furthermore, Shark's designs also tend to be easier to maintain with a simpler filter design, which means lower upkeep costs. Beep boop. Beep boop. I love you too, baby. Beep boop.
That was kind of adorable, actually. All right, next question here. We got this one from, Snack's boyfriend, George, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you very much, Snex's boyfriend, George. Hello, Xenu. Some sad news. Snex has passed away. Found by some male friends at a hotel in Vegas. Coroner report, overdose from Cialis and cocaine. Oh, man. Instead of flowers, the family asked for donations to ARC.org in his memory. RIP, fat man. And in parentheses, it says pet nickname. That's very sad to hear that Snex passed away. I don't think he actually did die, though, and I hope he didn't, because I like that guy. Now, I'm not surprised about how he did die, though, because he is a degenerate homosexual. That I am aware of. You know, he goes to the gay pride parades, and they're like, yo, Snex, chill. they're like, Snex, bring it down a notch, okay? All right. We're going to move on to the next one. We got one from Anit Moongrill, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you very much, Anit Moongrill. And they say, Zcash co-founder met with Epstein. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, kind of like what I was saying before, I don't really see much to it. Like, I think Epstein was just investing. But you know what? Like, these corruption runs deep. So I would not be surprised if there's more to that. Especially with the origins of Zcash being from Israel. Or at least there's a lot of ties there. I'm not really surprised too, like Zcash popped up on this because like they're so corporate anyway. You know, like seeing like Coinbase and Zcash and like Blockstream pop up, like not that surprising. Frankly, I'm surprised like there's not more. There probably is. I mean, I haven't like dug around these emails myself, but you know, it's interesting for sure. I agree, but I think he was kind of just looking to see how much money he should give them. that's kind of how I view it. And lastly, we got a donation from Pronunciation Nazi, who gives 0.01 XMR. Thank you very much. And they say, Utopia. I'm curious if you say Utopia or Utopia. Hearing you pronounce Monerotopia is like nails on a chalkboard, LOL. Well, okay, thank you very much, Pronunciation Nazi, and now I'm going to give you a beatdown. Are you ready for this? First off, Monero, non-English word, okay? It's Esperanto. So we're already making up a word here where you have Monero combined with Topia, which for some reason you think Topia is like owned by English or something. And you're implying that T-O-P-I-A is an English word, which is not. The second thing is, let's assume, because Monero is Esperanto, then that should mean that Topia is Esperanto, right? Okay, well, listen to this. I have here The word for utopia in Esperanto is utopio. Utopio. U-T-O-P-I-O. And here, I'm going to play it for you.
Utopio. Utopio.
So, this is spelled U-T-O-P-I-O. But see how he's pronouncing that? See how he's pronouncing it? He's saying utopio. Huh. Interesting. So, because Monero is a word in Esperanto, and we're assuming that it's about a utopia, then it would make sense to say it in Esperanto, would it not? But I'm not done yet, because there's another reason that I am right and you are wrong. Because if we're being honest here, Monerotopia has a Spanish flavor to it. It's got a Hispanic flavor to it. We'd be kidding ourselves otherwise. We have at Monerotopia this year a bunch of Spanish speakers, right? And technically, it needs an accent over the I, but there's many different words that end in an IA in Spanish, and utopia in Spanish is utopia. Utopia. Very similar to the utopio pronunciation in Esperanto. So I would prefer if Monerotopia had the accent over the I. But here's the best part. If we switch that O at the end to an A in Esperanto, it would be Monerotopia. And in that case, Doug made a brilliant, an absolutely brilliant, fortuitous switch of this word. Because initially, it would have been Monerotopio, but he switched that to Monerotopia as a reference to the Spanish flavor that his conferences have. Monerotopia. Oh, yeah. You thought you could take me down, pronunciation Nazi? I ripped you a new one. Yeah, I know. All right, we're going to end the episode there. Thanks for the donation, by the way. XMRChat.com/Xenu. I'm not going to be here next week, but if you are going to Monerotopia, hit me up. But I'm going to end the show there. See you guys.